invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of John, first chapter, John chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. We'll be putting the verses up on the screen in just a few moments. Our message series for this Advent season has been called The People of Christmas. And on Sunday mornings, we've been looking at some of the most important people, those people who figure so prominently in the Christmas story, Mary, Joseph, the shepherds. This Sunday, we'll be looking at the wise men. But tonight is Christmas Eve, and so we want to focus on the most important person of all when it comes to Christmas, obviously our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't spell Christmas without Christ. Jesus is the reason for the season, and he is the reason we have gathered here together for worship tonight. So we're talking about the people of Christmas, most important person, Jesus. Who is Jesus? And there's so many things we could say about Jesus tonight. He is master, teacher, prophet, friend. But tonight we're going to focus on just three things about Jesus in particular, all three that have to do with Christmas. Jesus is, here we go, the Son of God and the Son of Man who was born to be our Savior. The Son of God and Son of Man who was born to be our Savior. And we find all of these in the verses we'll be looking at tonight in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. So let me read for you now from the Gospel of John. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5 and then jump ahead to verse 14 and then jump way ahead to verse 29. Here we go. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 29, the next day John, this is John the Baptist, after Jesus had grown to be an adult, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This is God's holy word. Let us pray. Well, dear Lord, as we look at these verses tonight in the light of Christmas, we open our hearts to you. Holy Spirit, come and speak to us. Help us to understand in a new and fresh way tonight the wonder and glory of what Christmas is all about. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're looking at the person of Jesus tonight. We've looked at Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, come to do the wise men. Tonight we look at the person of Jesus. And theologians often separate the Bible's teachings about Jesus into two categories, into the person of Christ and the work of Christ, the person and work of Christ. The person of Christ, of course, refers to who Jesus is. The work of Christ refers to what Jesus has done. And yet, in many ways, even though we have these two categories, these categories overlap. Jesus came to do what he did because of who he is. I'll say that again. Jesus came to do what he did because of who he is. In other words, all of his works are based on his person. Only the person of Jesus could ever accomplish all that he did for us. His person is essential for his work. So that's what we're doing tonight. We're looking at the person of Jesus. Who is Jesus? According to John chapter 1, he is the Son of God and the Son of Man who was born to be our Savior. Inside your worship guide tonight, there's a little outline of the message, and you're welcome to follow along in that or jot down some notes as we go. But let's talk about Jesus. First of all, Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. And we need to start here because really that's where everything else begins. Everything else starts with Jesus as the Son of God. The opening verses of John 1 begin here, and they tell us four things about Jesus as the Son of God. First of all, John tells us that Jesus is eternal. He is eternal. Now, it's interesting. You've got four different Gospels in the New Testament, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And when you read the Gospels, you might have noticed this. Each of the Gospels begins their story of Jesus' life at different times in Jesus' life. For example, the Gospel of Mark begins with Jesus' public ministry as an adult. The Gospels of Matthew and Luke begin with the events surrounding Jesus' birth. But the Gospel of John, where we are tonight, does something amazing. John takes us all the way back to the beginning, long before Jesus' birth in Bethlehem, long before the events of the Old Testament, long before the creation of the world. You know where the Gospel of John takes us? John takes us all the way back into eternity, back before anything was created, back when there was absolutely nothing except for God. John chapter 1, verse 1 tells us this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, the Word here, this is a special term that John uses for Jesus here. And so for our purposes tonight, we could paraphrase this verse as saying, in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Well, who is God? God is an eternal being, right? God has no beginning or end. As far back as you go, you will always find God. And as far as you go into the future, there will always be God. And what John chapter 1, verse 1 tells us this: wherever you find God, you also find Jesus. There was never a time when Jesus was not. There will never be a time when Jesus is not. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is eternal. And then secondly, as the Son of God, Jesus is also personal. Personal. John chapter 1, verse 2 says this: he was with God in the beginning. It said that in verse 1 as well, but now it says it again. It emphasizes it. He was with God in the beginning. You know, people sometimes ask, you know, they say, you know, back when there was nothing but God, right, before God created anything, was God lonely? Was God lonely back then? I mean, he was the only one there, right? And the answer is no. God was never lonely, because although God is one God, he is also three persons: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And God and these three persons of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, God enjoyed perfect and complete relationship with himself throughout all of eternity. So no, God was never lonely. God is not an impersonal force or just some power behind the universe. No, he is the infinite personal God who has always existed as three persons, co-equal, co-eternal, one in power, majesty, and glory. As the Son of God, Jesus was with God in the beginning. Jesus is personal. Thirdly, as the Son of God, Jesus is the Creator. Now, of course, we already know that God is the Creator, right? You don't have to get very far in your Bible, okay? First verse of the first chapter of the first book, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, says what? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But now we read about Jesus here in John chapter 1, verse 3. It says this: through him, through the Word, through Jesus, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And so all things were created through Jesus. By the way, this means that Jesus is uncreated. If Jesus created all things, that means no one created Jesus. He would have had to create himself. That doesn't make sense. Jesus is the Creator. As the Son of God, Jesus is eternal. He is personal. He's the Creator. And then fourthly, John tells us Jesus is the giver of life. Look at verses 4 and 5 with me now. John writes, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. All life comes from Jesus. Do something for me right now. Hold up your hand. Just breathe into your hand. Breathe in and out. Did you feel anything? That means you're alive. Praise God. Okay, you're alive. Where did that life come from? Jesus. Jesus is the giver of all life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. As the Son of God, he is the source of all life. There is no life outside of Christ. All life depends on him. Unlike us, Jesus is not dependent on anyone for life. We read in John chapter 5, verse 26, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And so what do these opening verses from the Gospel of John teach us about Jesus? As the Son of God, Jesus is eternal. He is personal. He is the creator, and he is the giver of life. Now, you might wonder why we've taken so much time to understand Jesus as the Son of God on Christmas Eve. It's like, why don't we just get right to the Christmas story, right? I'll tell you why. Because this is the Christmas story. Until you understand who Jesus is, folks, there is no Christmas story. So who is Jesus? First of all, Jesus is the Son of God. And then secondly, Jesus is the Son of Man. The Son of Man. After introducing Jesus as the Son of God in the first five verses, now John introduces him to us as the Son of Man in verse 14, where he writes this, the Word, Jesus, the eternal Son of God, the Word, Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, biblically speaking, there are actually two ways that we can use this phrase, Son of Man. One way is to use it as a divine title, as a divine title. In the Old Testament, this phrase, Son of Man, was used as a title to speak of the coming Messiah. For example, in the book of Daniel, we read about one like a Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven, to whom is given all authority, glory, and power. Okay, well, that's divinity. That's God, right? This one, like a Son of Man, is a divine figure who receives worship and whose kingdom will never pass away. So that's one way to use this phrase, Son of Man, as a divine title. But the other way, and the one that we're going to focus on tonight, is simply to speak of someone as a human being. As a human being, as opposed to a divine being or an angelic being, just a human being. Ezekiel in the Old Testament used it that way. He referred to himself as a Son of Man. He just said, hey, I'm just a human being. I'm just a regular guy. Jesus applied this title to himself, and in doing so, he used it both ways. He was both the divine Messiah sent from God, as prophesied in Daniel 7, and he was a human being, born into this world with flesh and blood and bone. This is the miracle that we call the incarnation. The incarnation. John 1:14 tells us three things now about Jesus as the Son of Man. First, John says that the Word, Jesus, became flesh. Now think about that for a minute, right? The Bible tells us that God is a spirit. As a spirit, God does not have flesh. He does not have a physical form. Jesus is God. He is the Son of God. As the Son of God, Jesus always existed as a spiritual being. He didn't have a body. He did not have a physical form. That is, until Christmas. And that's when the Word became flesh. That's when Jesus, the Son of God, also became a Son of Man. The Word became flesh. Jesus became a man without ceasing to be God. He was just as much God after the incarnation as he was before the incarnation. And after he took on flesh, he became a true human being. He was as truly a human being as you and I are. The Word became flesh, and then John tells us he made his dwelling among us. Now, Jesus has another name in Scripture. I don't know if you knew that. Emmanuel. We hear that a lot around Christmas time, right? Emmanuel, another name for Christ. Do you know what the word Emmanuel means? God with us. God with us. He made his dwelling among us. God was with us. How now? Think about this. How could God, who lives in heaven, possibly dwell with us here on earth? And the only answer is Jesus. God became flesh, and he made his dwelling among us as a fellow human being with us. He left the riches of heaven. He was born as we are born. He lived as we live. He suffered as we suffer. He was tempted as we are tempted. And yet, he did it all without sin. He lived a perfect life so that he could offer up his perfect life in our place. John tells us the Word became flesh. He made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory. Remember, Jesus is the Son of God become man. Those who saw Jesus in the flesh, they may not have realized it at the time, but they were seeing God. They were seeing God. When Philip, one of Jesus' disciples, said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." I love how Jesus answered him. Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after all this time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." How can you say, "Show us the Father"? When Jesus became a man, he did not cease being God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is Jesus? He is the Son of God. He is the Son of man. And then thirdly, Jesus was born to be our Savior. Once again, you cannot separate the person of Christ from the work of Christ. Christ's work as Savior grows out of his person as the Son of God and Son of man. How does that work? This way. Only as God can he save, and only as man could he die for our sins. Only as God can he save, but only as man could he die for our sins. First of all, only God can save, okay? God says this himself, Isaiah 43:11. He says, I am the Lord, and apart from me, there is no Savior. Only God can save. We can't do it. We can't save ourselves. We're part of the problem, right? We can't save others from their sins because we all have sins of our own to deal with. And we can't take away our own sins. Sin is part of who we are. It's in our very nature. Only God can save because only God is holy, righteous, and pure. Only God can save because only God has the power to save. Only God can save because only God has the wisdom to design the plan of salvation. You know why we can't save ourselves? We're not holy enough, powerful enough, or smart enough to figure it out. Only God could do it. How does this tie into the person of Christ? If Jesus were not God, if he were not the Son of God, he could not be our Savior. But because Jesus is the perfect, sinless Son of God, he is mighty to save. Jesus can save us, first of all, because he is God, and only God can save. However, only as man could he die for our sins, because God doesn't die. God cannot die. And so the Son of God became the Son of man. The angel told Joseph this in Matthew 1:21. He said, "Joseph, speaking of Mary here, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. Mary gave birth to the man Jesus because only as a man could Jesus die for our sins. His very name means Savior. That's what the name Jesus means. This is why Jesus was born into our world. As a human being, he was born to die for our sins. He was born to be our Savior. Many years later, John the Baptist recognized this when he saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said to everybody around, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus, the Son of God, was born into our world as a human being so that he could become the Lamb of God who takes away our sins. Notice he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That means he's not one of many Saviors. He is the only Savior. Only as God could Jesus save, but only as man could he die for our sins. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus was born to be our Savior. So when you picture the baby in the manger on Christmas Eve, who do you really see there? Come on up. No, stay where you're seated. Okay, but come up in your mind. Come up here to the manger. Okay? Peer over the edge. Look at this little baby swaddled and lying in the straw. Who do you see? Behold, the baby in the manger is the Son of God. He is the eternal God who has always been and always will be. He is the personal God who has always lived in perfect relationship with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. He is the Creator God through whom all things were made. He is the giver of life, who is the source of all life and through whom all things exist. Come, look in the manger. Behold the Son of God. Behold, the baby in the manger is also the Son of Man. God is spirit, and yet through the miracle of the incarnation, the eternal Son of God took on flesh and became a true human being. In becoming man, he did not cease being God. He is just as much God as he ever was. He is just as much a human being as you and I are. Come to the manger. Behold, the Son of Man. Behold, the baby in the manger is the Savior of the world. Only God can save. Only as man could he die. Only the perfect God-man could die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins so that we could be forgiven. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold the person of Jesus in the manger, Son of God, Son of Man, born to be our Savior. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the beauty and the wonder of Christmas as found in your Son lying in a manger. Thank you, Jesus, for being born into our world to save us. Thank you for being our Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.